my dad, my brother Steve, God preach my sermon today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's get started tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for words of wisdom. We thank you for words of instruction tonight, Father God. Father, I yield myself to your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that everything that you have for the people tonight will be received with gladness, Father God, with great joy. Father, we just thank you for the unction of the Holy One tonight. And Father, I thank you for boldness to speak your word tonight. And Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise for the word that is coming forth tonight. And Father, we thank you that with your word, signs, wonders, and miracles always follow. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as Brother Steve said, the last 7 days have been 7 days of rejoicing. Amen. It's been a time of renewing our strength in the Lord. Hallelujah. And tonight is the end of that 7 days. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've been having a good time just praising the Lord. Lord just been giving me songs of joy just to sing out. I even been dancing some. I didn't think I could move that fast anymore. Hallelujah. So tonight we're continuing our discussion on the joy of the Lord. This kind of joy doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from man, but it comes from Jesus. The Bible says that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. So you know there are some wild and happy people that's in his presence. Hallelujah. The word also says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the Apostle Paul said for us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. When you rejoice, it is a demonstration of Christ's triumph. It is a demonstration of Satan's defeat, and it is a demonstration of our faith in God. So tonight we're going to take a look at some components of what joy can do for us. You know, when I began to look up on joy, well, when Pastor said, he told me last week, he said, I'm going to be out of town. So normally, you know, he would just cue up a tape, and I said, oh, I'll do it for you. Anybody who knows me, I don't jump at the chance to do that, but this time the Lord said, go for it. But as I began to look up the word joy or rejoice or gladness, I did not have any idea that it was referenced so many times in the Bible. Now, I've read the Bible several times over, but it never jumped out at me like it did at this point. And I said, then there must be something to this joy thing. Let me keep researching. If it was said in the Old Testament and then it was again said in the New Testament, then there's something to us having the joy of the Lord. Because he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Without his joy, I have no strength. But you know, one of the characters of the old Bible was David. And David wrote this psalm. He, in Psalms 27, 1, verses 1 through 6, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, if you've read about David, you know that David had some troubles. When he was keeping his father's sheep and stuff, what did he say? He ran up on a bear and he had to kill a bear. He ran up on a lion and he had to kill the lion. So he went through some troubles. He even had to fight a giant. He had one king that was trying to kill him. He had other men that were trying to kill him. So he had some troubles. So it was clear to him when he was said that when my enemies were around me and they came upon me to eat my flesh, you know, they stumbled and fell. Why did they stumble and fall? Because he knew his God. He knew the God of his fathers, the God of his salvation. So therefore, he could give the sacrifice of praise. In verse 6, he said, I will offer in his tabernacle the sacrifice of praise. David knew exactly who God was, who God is, and what God would do for him. So it was no problem at all for him to give the sacrifice of joy. Now imagine, okay, he's somewhere hiding in a cave. He can't walk outside the cave because someone's there to kill him. But yet he can give God praise. He's surrounded about with enemies, but yet he can give God praise. He made sure that he was able to give him the joy that he deserved. No, the Bible tells us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, David knew that he didn't have to lack anything. Everything was provided for him. That's why he could dance in the streets. You know, he danced in the streets and got ugly before God. And his wife said, man, why are you doing that? You are embarrassing me. What did David say? He said, I'm going to do it even more. He said, I'm going to get even more ugly. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to dance because I know who God is. Hallelujah. So joy gives you staying power. Now, you know, we just went to a Mark Hankins conference, right? I love that man. He's so full of joy. But he gave a story, I think it was in one of his books, he gave a story about popcorn, that he loved to eat popcorn every night. And so he had gotten it down to a science. He knew that it took exactly 3 minutes and 45 seconds to pop his popcorn. So he would put that bag in the microwave. He had to have an old-fashioned one, but mine's popped faster than that now. But he would put the bag in the microwave, and then he would get his soda ready and get everything ready so he could go and watch the game. So he said after 1 minute, nothing happened with the popcorn. The bag just laid there flat. After 2.5 minutes, still nothing. Then he just kept waiting, and all of a sudden he would hear pop, then pop, pop, then pop, 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 pop. And soon his bag was finished. Well, it's kind of the same principle with the things that you're believing to receive from God. You have God's promises from the Word, but at times it seems like there's nothing changing, like nothing is happening at all. But just like that bag of popcorn, you've got to keep waiting. You've got to keep your joy level set on high and expect to receive. You know, Brother Steve said it tonight, you've got to keep your expectancy level up. You've got to expect to receive from God. Well, joy gives you that patience or that staying power. It keeps you on track with the believing and the receiving. It helps you to stay in a position of faith while God is working the miracle in your life, while he is working all things together for your good. Because he said he would do that. If you rejoice while you wait for the answer, it won't be long before you hear that pop, 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 pop. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 2 in the Berkeley translation says, count it maximum joy, my brothers, when you get involved in all sorts of trials. It's a maximum joy. That means you got to turn that joy level up when you get in those trials and those situations. Now, he did not say that it was a joy to have multiple problems. That's not the joy part. But he said to count it all joy. You know, we do not want to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they were fasting and praying. They went around all forlorn and looking sad so that people would notice that they were going through something. We don't want to look that way. We want a happy countenance. We want a glad countenance. We want a countenance that invites people to come in. Because I don't know about you, I don't like to hang around sad, miserable people because I don't want to hear their problems. You want to go around happy people. You want to go around people who shows the things that God has done for them. You know, people who are going through situations, but still they can give God praise. They can still give him thanksgiving. They can still have a smile on their face while they're going through. So when you have a problem, you got to look at them and you got to count them. Pastor has went over this time and time before. He said you got to count them. You got to count one joy, two joy, three joy. And then you got to laugh at the devil. Ha ha. You got to be able to laugh at him. What Satan meant for evil, God is turning around for your good. Jesus paid too high a price for your victory for you to be defeated. Now, one time Reverend Hankins said that when he put his popcorn in the microwave, he went about doing his business because he knew that the popcorn was going to pop in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. But he said he came back and he looked in there and nothing had popped and he was kind of disappointed. So he said he thought about it. So then he knew he had put everything in there right and set the time right. But he checked the time again and he checked the bag of popcorn. And then all of a sudden he decided to check the settings. And someone had put the setting on defrost. So he yelled to Trina, "Trina, did you mess with the microwave?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Did you set it to defrost?" She said, "Yes. Yes, dear." And so he went back in there and he changed it and he reset everything. Heard that popping once again. And he had his popcorn. Maybe it's time for us to turn up our setting, to get it off of defrost and set it on high in the things of God. You know, Jesus is coming back soon, and he said he's going to come back for a glorious church. He's not going to come back for one defeated. He's coming back for us that are ready and prepared for him. So it's time to set our joy level up there on the 10th level or higher. No, maybe you haven't been getting the answers to your prayers or your victory seems lost sometimes. Maybe it's been a while since you've had a pop in your life. Check your joy level. You know, I was talking to God and I was talking about how some things were taking a long time, right? You know, sometimes we do that. I know I do. And I have to think back when he gives me a scripture, you know, that one about being willing and obedient. I said, "Oh, yeah, right, Lord. I ain't been too willing or obedient in that area, have I?" But it doesn't take long to change. You can get willing and obedient quickly when you need something to come in. But, you know, sometimes we gotta check on the inside those settings and see if we're doing things according to his plans and his purposes. When you're going through difficult times, turn up your joy. That's no time to get in the bed and pull up the sheets or cry or be sad. It's the time to turn up your joy level and laugh at the devil. Remember, we're to count it all joy. Count it all joy. That means you counted joy in the good times and you count it in the bad times. Now, the word all in the Greek is pas, P-A-S, and it includes all forms of declension. That means that the word joy in this verse encompasses every level of joy, from cheerfulness and calm delight to gladness and exceeding joy. So, you may start off with one joy. That means you might just brighten up a little bit. You ain't so sad no more. You at least got your head up. You brighten up. Then comes the smile when you make it to two joy, right? And then there's a chuckle at 3 joy, all the way up to 10 joy. Hallelujah. And this 10 joy is the same joy Peter referenced when he told us to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's 1 Peter 1:8. The Amplified Bible calls it triumphant heavenly joy. This is the kind of joy that has winning power in it. Hallelujah. When you can rejoice in the midst of enemies coming against you, when you can rejoice in the midst of bill collectors calling you, when you can rejoice in the midst of your car breaking down, your water heater breaking down, your air conditioning breaking down, when you can rejoice in that, that's winning joy. That's winning power. Now, your joy may be simmering right now. Some people put that stuff down on low and let it simmer. In our house, we put it up on the highest level on the stove so it can cook fast. So maybe you need to turn it up. Turn it up to 10. Hallelujah. And get the manifestation of what you are believing for. If you really don't have anything to rejoice about, no. Think about it. Think about it. You don't really have anything to rejoice about. I don't have nothing to rejoice about. I don't have nothing to be glad about. But let's look at what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 3:17. It says, although the fig trees shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. That's a bad situation. They just got trouble all around. But yet he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Everything's going wrong, but he said, I can rejoice in the God of my salvation. Here's a clear picture of how to count it all joy when every circumstance around you is negative. The Hebrew word for rejoice here is alaz, A-L-A-Z, which means to jump for joy, to exult, to be joyful, to rejoice, and triumph. Now think about it. Kids, when they're happy, they jump around. Little Heaven was out here the Sunday before. She was out here. I don't even think she knew why she was doing it. She was just happy. She was just jumping around and twirling and dancing. Naturally, kids do that, right? But can you jump for joy? How can you rejoice in terrible times? How? Everything's going wrong. You can rejoice because you know something besides what is obvious to your physical senses. The Bible says that in this world, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have tests and trials. We're going to be persecuted. We are. So that should come as no surprise to anybody. It's going to happen. There's a devil in this world, and it's going to happen. And you know, and sometimes because things do happen, sometimes we blame it on the wrong person. We start accusing God. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, what are you doing in my life to make this happen? Lord, why are you doing this to me? But it's not God who's doing it. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempted any man. Remember, it's not God who's doing it. He is not tempting or testing you. That's not his nature. That's Satan's nature. And just like that song just said, where is Satan? He's under our feet. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song that this guy minister, he was singing. He said, laugh at the devil, ha, 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 ha. Laugh at the devil, ha, ha. And he just kept saying it in this song. And boy, that, it just hit me to where I just laugh. But sometimes we just got to laugh at the one who's doing it, and we count it all joy because we know the God of our salvation. God's nature is goodness. He's a good father. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. And you know what? God has given us the power through his word to stay in faith when we go through these difficult times. 1 Peter 1:3 says, according to his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. John 16:33 says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. And if he did it, where's our victory? We're overcomers too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of my examples are from Mark Hankins tonight, so be patient with me. Now, he said that several years ago he had went to Disney World. And, you know, he was talking about Disney World being quite an expensive trip. You know, we've never been there, but I've looked up the prices. And it can get pretty expensive going there. I know just going to Fiesta, Texas can get pretty expensive when you just want to eat some food. You get a turkey leg that costs almost $20. But you know, it's quite an expensive trip. But he said when he was there, he saw this lady with her little boy. And the little boy was just crying and acting up and whining and complaining. So I know you guys don't do this, but she snatched him by the arm. And she pulled him up to her and she told him to stop his whining and his complaining that she had paid too much for that trip for him to be unhappy all that time. That they had come too far a distance for him to be whining and complaining there. And she told him to stop it and to get happy. And that's what he did. He did that. You know, Jesus had did too much for us not to be joyful. Now, can you imagine the Father saying this? I brought you here to have a good time. Now you're going to have a good time. I paid too much for your freedom. I paid too much for your freedom for you to be bound. I paid too much for your joy to be depressed. I paid too much for your peace for you to be confused. I paid too much for your forgiveness for you to be condemned. I paid too much for your righteousness for you to feel guilty and ashamed. I paid too much for your healing for you to stay sick. And I paid too much for your success for you to fail. You know, the price of our freedom was the precious blood of Jesus. That's a high price. That's a high price. He paid a high price for us to be blessed and not cursed. So God is speaking to us tonight saying, I brought you here to have fun, so you're going to have fun. Jesus came to give us life, right? And give us life more abundantly. And life is to be enjoyed. You know, Jesus also prayed for us to experience joy. In John 17:13, he says, and now I am coming to you. I say these things while I am still in the world, so that my joy may be complete and perfect in them. That them is us. That they may experience my delight fulfilled in them. That my enjoyment may be perfected in their souls. And that they may have my gladness within them, filling their hearts. He wanted that for us. He wanted us to experience that type of joy. So it's time for us to enjoy our victory in Christ. It's time for us to enjoy our redemption. It's already been paid for. Hallelujah. If somebody bought you a house furnished with car, a driver, a maid, a housekeeper, a cook,
Are you going to stand on the outside looking at me and say, oh, I wonder what's going on in there? No. You're going to go in and you're going to enjoy all the benefits. But Jesus has already done everything. All we have to do is enjoy the benefits by faith. In Luke 10:20, it says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You know, no matter how bad things get, at least you're not going to hell. You're not going to go to hell. That's something to be happy about. At least I'm not going to hell. You know, what's her name? Her last name is Sharon, and she's a pastor in Nevada. And she said that a few years ago she was going through this difficult situation where she was just depressed. Things had happened. You know, it was even a miracle for her to have their one and only child, but she was going through a rough time. And so she had called Mark and Trina, and they came up there to talk with her. And Trina talked with her, and she was telling Trina about all of her problems. And Trina told her, she said, well, Jesus had it worse than you. And she said she thought about that and said, yeah. So she got happy, and out of all of that, God gave her a song, and she sung it for us, which I thought was great. Hallelujah. But at least we can rejoice in the fact that he is the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. Now, if you can't rejoice in that, then you need to stir yourself back up again. Because Psalms 51:12 says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So if you need that to be rekindled, that joy to be rekindled, then you need to start quoting the scriptures, and you need to start stirring that joy back up in you. Hallelujah. Now in verse 21, it states that, you know, Jesus was happy about the fact that their names were written in heaven. He was happy about it because verse 21 says that in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He rejoiced in the Spirit because their names were written in heaven. And I want to read you something that was written here. The Spirit-Filled Life Bible has a note on this verse, verse 21, commenting on how Jesus rejoiced. The successful mission of the 70 caused Jesus to burst forth in a spontaneous demonstration of worship in the Spirit. The Greek word suggests shouting and leaping with joy. Now Jesus rejoiced. He burst forth with shouting and with leaping. Aren't we supposed to be imitators of God? So we're supposed to be doing the same thing he's doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Bible in Basic English says it this way, a glad heart makes a healthy body. The Jerusalem Bible says it this way, a glad heart is excellent medicine. A spirit depressed wastes the bones away. Now, while I was reading and studying about this subject of joy, I ran upon a segment in a book that was talking about an article that the author had found, and it was an article in the newspaper that says that these laughter clubs were being formed to relieve stress. You know, so I decided I'm gonna look it up. So I Googled it, threw the internet on it, and I found it. And it was called the World Laughter Tour.
Can you believe it? Even the world realizes the benefits of laughter. Now, they have a leader that's called a chairman of the board, B-O-E-R-D. B-O-R-E-D, I'm sorry, B-O-R-E-D. You know, when you're bored, about to fall asleep. Well, they have a chairman of the board, and they train laughter leaders. So when people, when they go around on these tours and they have these seminars and stuff, they have trained leaders that will teach people how to laugh, you know, to relieve themselves of stress. Because they found out that the world has all these anger issues, you know, they're protesting everything and they hate everybody. So they figured out that, you know, people needed to relieve stress somehow. And so they formed these laughter clubs. Naturally speaking, laughter, happy emotions, and expressions of joy releases endorphins that relieve pain. And I experienced that for myself at this last meeting we were at, because my knee had been hurting. And but I told my husband all that week, because we were laughing, dancing, and jumping and singing, I had no pain. And normally when I go off on one of these minister conferences, I don't drink enough water, so my ankle swells. None of that happened. No, even psychologist says laughter is the best way to deal with stress and its mental and physical effects. Laughter improves our health, helping our immune system fight diseases, lowering our blood pressure, and fighting heart disease. You know, one thing I had to do, and I think this was before I turned 50, but they wanted me to start seeing all these specialists, and one was a cardiologist. Well, now I know when my 5 years is up, I better start laughing so that when I go see the cardiologist, he said I got a strong heart. Now, Dr. Jurdingen, a family physician and professor at the University of Minnesota Medical School, stated this. Humor is defined as a stimulus that helps people laugh and feel happy. While laughter is a response to humor that involves positive physiological and psychological reaction, the positive emotions associated with laughter in humans involves the dopamine system of the brain. When one laughs, various muscle groups are activated, but the period after the laugh is characterized by a general relaxation of muscles that can last up to 45 minutes. Greater relaxation is seen with true laughter compared to stimulated laughter. That's coming from a doctor. We need to laugh more. Now, Melissa Breyer, an author for Healthy Living, tells us what happens physiologically and psychologically when a person laughs. She says it lowers the blood pressure, it increases vascular blood flow and oxygenation of the blood. I can see that, because when you're laughing, you got to breathe in heavy, and that's getting all that good oxygen in and all the bad stuff out, right? It gives a workout to the diaphragm and the abdomen, the respiratory, facial, leg, and back muscles. It reduces certain stress hormones and cortisol and adrenaline. Now, that cortisol, for all of us who have belly fat, that cortisol makes it all build up there, so you better get to laughing to strengthen those muscles in the stomach and to get rid of that belly fat. Laughter helps us it increases the response of tumor and disease-killing cells such as gamma, interferon, and T cells. It defends against respiratory infections. I wish I had known that when I had the flu, I would have laughed my way through it. It increases memory and learning, and it improves alertness, creativity, and the memory. So, you know, I'm kind of a night owl, and I stay up late at night. And a lot of the times during the night, or sometimes like at around 11 o'clock in the morning when I have it on the Hallmark channel, all of these commercials come on with old people having to have medications for something. Sometimes it's young people. And you know, I perk up on some of them, like when the doctor had told me I needed to watch my high blood pressure, And so I perk up on the high blood pressure ones, and I listen to it. I said, oh, maybe that's for me. But then I hear the good things that it'll do for you. But then here comes a laundry list of bad things that can happen to you. And some of those things even include death or suicidal tendencies, which leads to death. You know, so I quickly flip that channel because I don't want that anymore. But we've got a better choice prescribed to us by Dr. Jesus. That's laughter. And he's the one who made us. So it's better to go with what he says, since he knows us better than the doctor does. And his medication has no side effects, unless you get addicted to laughing. So learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh with God, who is the creator of laughter. You know, like love, joy is a language that is shared around the world. And as children of God, we all have the capacity to laugh. We all have it. Joy is a fruit of the spirit that originates from a different place. It's not from your mind or circumstances, but it's from your innermost being, from your belly. Heavenly, triumphant joy springs out of truth that you know in your heart. When you know that God is on your side, you can rejoice. It is truth that God is for you, but who cares who can be? It is truth that all things have passed away and all things have become new. Even in times when it seems like you've lost everything and you're flat on your back, you've been there, when you're underneath the barrel, when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel because the tunnel is like 50 million miles long, you can still lay on your back and look up and let out laughter, let out a chuckle of laughter, because you know that the Lord your God is on your side. Hallelujah. Faith has a beginning and faith has an end. It has a goal. The Apostle Peter talked about it in 1 Peter 1:6 through 9. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward of trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So as you rejoice, praise, and thank God, a bridge is being built between believing and receiving. Just as it takes time to build a bridge in the natural, it's the same way in the spiritual. Sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes you got to build that joy level up. You know, when God told Abraham to look up at the stars, to count the stars, that his seed would be like that, would be lightning earth like that, I think Abraham was 75 years old when he told him that he would give his descendants the land that, you know, he was walking upon. And, you know, Abraham and Sarah tried to push God's plan along by having Ishmael, but God said, no, promise is not going to come. But Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years, right? 25 years, from 75 to 100, 25 years for the promised child. But during that time, he had to build a bridge between believing and receiving. He had to build that bridge. How did he do it? He stayed faithful. He kept a heart of joy, you know. And then when those men came up and talked to him and told him that this time next year Sarah was going to have a baby, you know, she laughed. God will make you laugh sometimes. No, she, oh, she knew her body was, had went through menopause, and then she couldn't have any kids. But she laughed. God will make you laugh, because sometimes you have to laugh at the impossible thing. But anyway, Sarah, even though she started off in unbelief, she ended up in faith with that laughter. She had a laughter of faith because she named Isaac. Isaac, because Isaac means laughter. It means laughter. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. So Sarah's original laugh of disbelief was replaced by a laugh of faith, which caused her body to be rejuvenated and young again. Her womb was changed and made ready to receive seed to conceive. She just conceived. No, even while they were waiting for Isaac to come along, God still showed himself faithful through that conception. So they judged him faithful. They knew that if he said it, he would do it. Demonstrate supernatural joy in your life by rejoicing, smiling, and laughing. Remember, joy irritates the devil. He likes to hang out in places of depression, because he'll crawl right under those sheets with you if you'll whisper in your ear. Girl, that's right. You need to be crying. Girl, ain't no reason for you to get up out of bed today. What you gotta do? No, you ain't got no money to go nowhere. You ain't got no car to do nothing with. You ain't got no friends. He'll fall right in there with you. But if you will shout, if you will praise, if you will laugh, you know, he will run out of that room, because where there is joy, the presence and the glory of God abides. And he's got to go.